I'm going to start this afternoon with a story. Well, I'm actually going to, the whole thing is a story. All girls love a story. Yes. My daughter watched this one 7 times on a plane going from...
I can do this, it's okay.
She's allowed.
Can you plug?
Am I plugged in now? Am I going? Cool. Thanks, Daniel. She watched it so many times, over and over and again. We're actually going from a plane from KL to London, and she didn't sleep. She just watched it again and again and again. And it's just a delightful story, and it so illustrates who we are to God. And it's a story of a young girl who was living just a normal life. She went to school, she had friends, she had a mum to come home to, but as she described in her own words, she was invisible. She was just one of those girls who was just part of the crowd. She didn't stand out in any particular way and had no defining characteristics. And then one day, she found out that she was a princess.
Because of copyright restrictions, we are not able to show you the video clips from the movie Princess Diaries. Instead, we bring you a synopsis of these clips to illustrate the points for the message. Amelia is invited to an afternoon tea party and meets Queen Clarice of Genovia and discovers that not only is the Queen her grandmother, but that she herself is a princess. Amelia is shocked and unwilling to believe that she is the legal heir to her father's throne and that she is expected to rule over Genovia. Queen Clarice is a queen by marriage, but Amelia is royalty by blood. Amelia's father had died just a few months before Queen Clarice's visit. She is still a schoolgirl and wants to remain an invisible commoner and not a princess. She is told that she will be trained to walk and talk like a real princess. Amelia can't accept this and rushes from the garden, leaving Queen Clarice stunned.
Here we see Amelia, who is basically the school geek, get confronted with her destiny. She was all of a sudden faced with the fact that she wasn't always who she wasn't who she had always thought she had been. The Queen said to Amelia, "I am royal by marriage, but you are royal by blood. You can rule." Amelia's reply was, "Rule? My expectation in life is to be invisible, and I'm good at it." In John 1 verse 12, it says, But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. Do you believe that you're a child of God? For those that have accepted Christ into their lives, most of us would answer yes. Then there's the equally important question. Do you feel like a child of God? A daughter of the King? A princess? It's one thing to believe it. It's another thing to walk in it, to walk in the revelation of who you are, and to experience it, and to be it. In a sense, you believe that you are royal, and you know that the Bible talks about the fact that you are an heir, in Romans 8 verse 17, and if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. You have an inheritance. You are God's child, therefore you are the King's child. But you feel like a commoner. You feel that being royalty and being a princess goes far beyond what you could ever think or imagine. It goes beyond the scope of what you think you could ever be. Are we on the same page? Believing and being can be two different things. If you're a child of God, then you're a child of the King. You are a member of the royal family. And that means you're a princess with a palace, a tiara, though you may not see it, the clothes and the privilege. So do you believe that you're royalty? Do you feel royal? Is being royal your experience? Is it your mindset? Or do you see yourself as a commoner? Or do you see yourself as royalty? Do you think of yourself as a mistake of nature? Or do you think of yourself as one whom God loves so much that he gave his son so that you can become part of his family? Do you think of yourself as invisible and good at it? Or as a princess with the authority, the power, the privilege and right to walk in the destiny that God has called you to?
Her school friend is giving Amelia three good reasons not to become a princess, and yet the friend is caught up with Amelia's celebrity status. Amelia says she doesn't want to run a country, but just to pass 10th grade. She wants to quit, but is told she cannot deny who she is born to be. Her royal attendant tells her there is no escaping her destiny and urges her to try to be a princess. She takes the first step by practicing how to enter the state dinner.
Notice that she was told no one can quit being who they really are. But oh, how we try. Jo also said you can choose to resign the job, but you are a princess by birth. How many times have you wanted to walk away from your destiny? You know what God's called you to do, but it's just too hard. We've been in the ministry for 18 years. 19 has come up. And there's been a few times that I've wanted to walk away. It got too hard. I got tired. I got hurt. I felt that I was in a box with expectations of others overwhelming me, that I couldn't break out of. I felt that I wasn't right for the job. I had this huge fear of speaking in public. I struggled even to pray with people on the altar call. I used to say that God had given me the job of a professor and I hadn't yet got through kindergarten. I couldn't see myself as a woman of God. I didn't fit the image of a pastor's wife. I don't play the piano and I don't make good chicken soup. I don't pray as much as I should. I'd rather be painting. You know, there's times we all want to quit. Times when it just seems too hard. But how do we walk away from who we really are?
Amelia's first public debut is a formal state dinner party given by Queen Clarice. Dignitaries from various countries and from Genovia are present. But Amelia isn't prepared fully for her role and embarrasses herself and others at the table. She doesn't know the correct utensils to use or how to eat certain foods. She upsets the guests and the party ends in chaos. As she ponders the evening, she feels that she has let down her father's dreams for her and that she is a failure.
And then there's the embarrassing moments. We all have times when we want to just crawl under the table. We can often make blues that we feel let our father down. And yet that's just part of the learning curve. That's part of becoming who you are and who God has called you to be. Getting the action to run parallel with your belief system sometimes takes a little while. When we were planting a church in Mount Maunganui, Graham had to be away for the weekend and I had to run the service. And this was a time that even standing up in front of people was such a big issue for me. And even leading worship just sent me into a complete spin. I had to do the communion and I had to, you know, take up the offering and introduce the speaker and do all of that kind of stuff. And I managed to speak to communion, but then I forgot to hand it out. And then I forgot to take up the offering, and then the speaker came after me and had to do it himself. And then as I was introducing him, I completely forgot his name. And the problem was, I'd been in this church only 2 years before as part of his congregation, and I still didn't actually remember who he was. And the most embarrassing thing was, I just could not, you know, you have those vacant moments. I couldn't remember where he was from. I couldn't remember his name. It was just like everything had gone completely out of my head. I was so embarrassed and I was so humiliated that I actually wouldn't even go to lunch with the people that were hosting him for lunch. I was just, my kids were little, I gave the excuse that I was going home putting the babies to bed. I felt like crawling under a bush and staying there. But learning to be what God has called you to be is just part of the process. When I said this morning, you know, when I first began to speak up the front, my knees would shake, my hands would shake, my voice would shake, and I'd kind of stand there and whisper my message. And I thought I'd try doing what Graham did when he spoke, and that's kind of walk around, and he'd walk to this side and he'd be speaking, and then he'd walk across to this side and he'd be speaking. And so I'd use what he said, and so I'd look at my notes and I was okay. And I'd work out what I was going to say, and I'd move, and I'd start speaking, and I'd get to this side, and I'm thinking, I can't remember what I was supposed to say. Find my place, and away I'd go again. And it was just really hard. I'd just forget. It was just, I became paralysed by the fear of it, and my brain would stop. I just feel such a fool. But then I had a revelation. As a daughter of the king, what authority do I carry? His. How do you go from being royal by blood to feeling and believing and acting like you're royal as well? How do you go from being a princess by birth to feeling and believing that you're a princess? How do you position yourself to walk in the experience?
Amelia is still scared to become a princess and struggles with the idea. She plans to run away. Alone in her bedroom, she discovers a letter from her father to read on her 16th birthday. He writes about his hopes for her. In the letter, he urges her to be brave and become the person she was born to be. Her destiny is to be a princess. It slowly begins to dawn on her that her father wants her to inherit her future as a princess.
Amelia's father writes, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. From now on, you'll be travelling the road between who you think you are and who you can be. The key is to allow yourself to make the journey. From now on, you will be travelling the road between who you think you are and who you can be. Allow yourself to make the journey." The answer is whether who we are and see ourselves, our self-image and our self-esteem is fed to us from either outside ourselves or from within. Is your sense of identity determined by the voice of others? Is it determined by those closest to you? Is it determined from the way that you were raised? Is it the things that your mother and father have said to you, your friends and your peers, the latest women's magazine? Or does it come from someone else? Amelia's father knew who she was, and he knew what she was on the inside. Because he was her father, she knew who she was, really. We are born into royalty because God himself has made us his children. Let's consider Prince Charles for a moment. What makes Prince Charles think that he's a prince? Do you think he reads the tabloids, or the Sun, or the Sunday Times and sees a headline reading, Charles is a prince, and then knows he's a prince? Of course he doesn't. Information that comes from the newspaper or the tabloids probably doesn't enhance his sense of royalty. What makes him think that he is royalty? The answer is that he was born a prince. It is part of his inheritance. In Romans 8:15 it says, "For the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more into bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father." This does not say letter of adoption, it says spirit of adoption. How do you know that you are royal and that you are born into royalty? It is part of your spiritual DNA. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 3 says, "Clearly you are a letter from Christ prepared by us. It is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on stone, but on human hearts." Your choice is, what are you going to allow to determine your sense of value and esteem? Those things from without, or those things that are within you? If we are determined those things from those things without, we are sentenced to inconsistency. Because someone could come to you one day and say, "Oh, you're really great at that, you know, you're really cool." And you think, oh, that's good. And then another person can come to you the next day and say, "Oh, I didn't like such and such, and you're this and you're that." And all of a sudden, you feel different. So it can't come from outside. It's got to come from within here. Who you are has got to come from in here. Because it's a cruel way to live, relying on what other people say about you for your sense of self-esteem. If you connect with the spirit of adoption and what God writes on the tablets of your heart, then we are committed to consistency.
The pressure to be a princess is too much for Amelia, and she tries to run away again on a rainy evening. Her attendant finds her, and she decides to attend the grand ball anyway. She is not dressed for the occasion and is bedraggled, wet, and dressed in jeans and sneakers. But she did come. Amelia embraces her rightful place as Princess of Genovia, as her father had desired for her. Queen Clarice goes ahead and crowns Amelia Princess. In her speech, she chooses the responsibility of her destiny. Amelia is presented to the people in her ordinariness, but wearing the tiara and the robe of a princess.
Mia decided to stand in what she had been born to be, a princess. What are you going to stand in? The knowledge that you are royal because you are a daughter of the king with the rights, authority and power that comes with it. One of the things Mia said in her speech was, "My father helped me." If this is an area that you find hard to get into your head, let your father help you. Ask him to write who you are on the tablets of your heart. Ask him to help you see who you really are, called by God and part of his family, his child, a daughter of the king, a princess. But it doesn't stop there. Now that God has shown you who you are, you have to walk in it. You have to step up, and it carries responsibility.
In the Genovia Independence Day street parade, Princess Amelia suddenly stops her carriage. She reaches out to the people in her domain by inviting a group of orphaned children to walk with her in the parade. The children have a chance to walk, wave, and act like princesses too. Finally, Amelia believes who she really is. She truly has become a princess.
Mia said to the little girl, "You have to believe that you are a princess. You have to walk and think like a princess, walk like a princess walks, and think like a princess thinks. Wave like a princess waves, and have fun. Believe that you're a princess. Believe that you are what God has called you to be, and have fun and enjoy the journey. Let's all stand. Let's just pray. Father, you have called each one of us into your family. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we are daughters of the King. And Father, that we may not always get it right. And sometimes, Father, we do let you down. But God, it doesn't stop you loving us. It doesn't stop you believing in us, and it doesn't stop us being the apple of your eye. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that your blessing would be upon us today. In Jesus' name, amen.